You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. What a day it is. We got, you know, they say you can't keep good help. Cassandra is off and gone, doing her own thing. We wish her well at LA Talk Radio and Cameron Sports and Life. She's not going to be in. She's doing her own thing. So, Cassandra, if you're out there listening, we wish you the best of luck. Anyway, let's get into the show. Welcome to Cameron Sports and Life. We've been on the air 9 years, man. Could have been pregnant for 9 years. Anyway, we are a wonderful show on LA Talk Radio on Friday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. You can call us all the time at 323-203-0815. Once again, 323-203-0815. Anyway, we're going to be talking about all the news flashes of today. And if you would like to call in, please call us at 323-203-0815 from San Francisco, California, all the way to New York City, and from Paris, France, to Buenos Aires, Argentina. So please call us. We'd love to have you on board. People heard our show, please call in. Anyway, we're going to mark our show. I just wanted to mention to everyone, we got breaking news. Anyway, President Trump says, yes, Florida officer is a coward. And I'm saying, why would he say that? Anyway, President Trump said today that the Florida officer didn't have the courage. It's a little harsh, you know, and the man may have a situation happen. And it was kind of a weird situation anyway. But an armed officer who stood outside a Florida school where a gunman killed 17 people last week certainly did a poor job. And, you know, it happens when you're under pressure. Things happen. I can imagine, you know, his environment. It must have really knocked his socks off. And it's a horrible thing when you have to go through that. Anyway, Deputy Scott Peterson resigned as of yesterday, and after an investigation found he failed to confront the suspect, which was Mr. Cruz. Anyway, Mr. Trump said Mr. Peterson must be a coward who didn't react properly under pressure. Well, Mr. President, you haven't been acting properly under different issues, and you give this guy a break, because you know what? When you're in a situation where there's life is on the line, kids are all around, and you have a shooter like that, and what they call an active shooter, which means a guy that comes on the campus and has bullets and ready to go, things happen, and we can't blame the officer. I think the officer may have been shocked and scared, and that happens. But we're all not as Patton, like George Patton, like you, Mr. President. Bad things happen. Now, Florida's governor, and he's got a problem. Meanwhile, he called for law enforcement officers to be placed in every public school in the state. And that's crazy, because first of all, you know, if you had a policeman at every place, how would they have time to take care of action on the street in the community? So I think this is a little crazy. I think giving the teacher's armed weapon, I think, is nuts. And I think all you're doing is opening up a can of worms. So from my point of view, I would never, ever, in my mind, think of having the teachers having weapons, because you're going to create another problem. What if they did have weapons and you have shooters going in? You would have a horrible massacre over there. And that's what would happen. It's just a horrible thing. Now, a woman had, after the White House crash, it was a crash today at the White House. Someone tried to break in the barriers at the White House. A woman has been taken into custody after the crash, the Secret Service says. Now, a vehicle struck a barrier outside the White House, and a woman has been detained, the Secret Service says. We're going to find out who that woman is, and we'll report it on the news. And I'm going to get into different subjects on that. And then, you know, of course, we will find out what we will find out. Now, President Trump campaign aide pleads guilty as Peck Gates pleads. Paul Manafort is accused of secretly using ex-European politicians to lobby U.S. President Donald Trump's former deputy campaign manager has admitted charges of conspiracy and lying to investigators in a plea deal. And Rick Gates pleaded to cooperate in any and all matters with the U.S. Special Counsel, which is Roger Mueller group, inquiry into alleged Russian political meddling in the U.S. Now, Mr. Gates, who's 45, has been indicted on more serious criminal counts, including bank fraud and money laundering. Money laundering, you would never want to do, okay? Things that you don't want to do, you don't want to do money laundering. And if you guys have any questions, please call in. We'd love to have fresh callers. We're waiting to call Ken Pfeiffer, and we're waiting to get on Genevieve, who's my buddy. So we're waiting for her. So please call in. We'd love to have you in. And first-time callers, we always welcome you in. We'd love to talk issues of the day. And this is one that's interesting about Facebook. Here we got a live call. A live call. All right. That may be Ken. Hold on 1 second. Let me get my little thing here. Okay. Hello. Is this Ken? Ken Pfeiffer?
Hey, Cameron. Hey, Pat. How you doing?
Welcome. Well, welcome to our show. Doing good, actually. I'll be going to Philadelphia for the MUFON, so I'm real excited. Hopefully I get to meet you.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited to see you. I'll see you over there. Yeah, I didn't go last time they had it here. Quite frankly, I don't want to say I forgot about it, but I just had it wrong on my calendar, and I missed the whole thing. I was kind of shocked about it. And a great thing is they had one hell of a UFO sighting there at the show.
Really?
Some guys went out there, and then, yeah, they saw some strange things in the sky. They said it was pretty cool.
Well, this one's going to be in what is called Cherry Hill, New Jersey. So how far am I from you? Am I close?
Cherry Hill, about 25 minutes. Yeah, that's relatively close to South Jersey.
Well,
Cherry
I'll spend Hills. Time with you because...
And yeah, I'll be there. I should be there for the 3 days. Of course, I want MUFON to... I want them to ask me to do a photo presentation. I haven't gotten any offers yet, so I hope... Yeah, I hope to get. It doesn't have to be me. I hope to get just someone to do a UFO photo presentation at the conference. It's really weird why they never do it. You know?
Yeah, that is weird because in when we went to Las Vegas, they didn't have anything on it. And I was really what I'm looking forward is they're going to have the ships out. The USS Jersey. I understand from the information. Now, tell us about...
Oh, yeah, that's you have to see the New Jersey. It's right across the river there. It's in Camden, New Jersey, and it's and they also have the aquarium. So it's right there next to the battleship. So it's you can spend a good day or two there.
I'm going to be busy because I'll be leaving. I think I'm going to be leaving the Thursday before because I'm going to help out our buddy Jessica Stein. Or Jennifer Stein. We're going to help her out.
Jennifer Stein, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to help her out. And then I understand Travis Walton's going to be there. And they're going to, and Richard Dolan's not going to be at this one. So too bad. Too bad with Richard Dolan. But anyway, so tell us what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I like Travis Walton. I've emailed him. He emails me sometimes. And I've yet to meet him, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's July is when the MUFON.
Yeah, I have it in my thing. They're going to have it in July. In fact, we'll hook up. I'm going to have you live on my show when I get to the hotel. And what we're going to do is you'll be on my show, and then you'll be on my show in San Francisco. So we're going to the people on BBS Radio. We're going to have Ken Pfeiffer on. And we're also going to have them on LA Talk Radio. So you're going to have a double pleasure.
That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. So tell us what's going on in the world of UFO sightings.
Well, I wanted to let you know here. We have I don't know if you're aware, but there's a new UFO organization, an investigative UFO organization by John Greenwald. He's the editor and owner and all that of the Black Vault. I don't know if you're aware of his website.
Oh, yeah, he was on my buddy's show, you know, about Alien Files, Vince Rotunda show. Yeah, he lives in the Los Angeles area, right?
I believe so. I know he's got a ton of info, and the name of his organization is TBV Investigations, and he's looking for investigators, basically, and you know he wants them to. And now I have all the information on my website, worldufophotosandnews.org. So you can go on there and get all the information where you can give him a call. And yeah, he's serious about this. He's going to give MUFON a run for their money, I think.
Well, I think I may volunteer. I may take the investigation group, because you know what, they're gonna have the investigator class. I think at the conference. So, which is good. I want to learn anyway, because last year I was so busy doing interviews, you know, for the radio show. I didn't get a chance to, you know, I wanted to meet a lot of people. I met a lot of folks from back east that came from in Georgia and all over. So tell us what's going on in the world of sightings, because I got some stuff for you too. I did my homework.
Yeah, I got something here for you. This was February 21st.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, in Sacramento, California, the statement is here. So at around 12:30 at night, I was driving to get some food. I was driving down the road when out of nowhere, I see this big craft appear out of my top left field of view. Now, this was in Sacramento itself. I didn't have time to think. I was almost dumbfounded as what I was looking at, and the craft appeared from out of thin air and hovered at the spot above the buildings around 300 feet away or so. So anything less than 500 feet is considered a close encounter. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh yeah. I've heard that in MUFON they talked about, go ahead, because I understand where you're at with this. Go ahead.
Continuing, it says here that it had two blue lights that were parallel to each other. The blue lights followed from the front of the craft to the back, and they were on the side of it. And at the same time, the craft looked almost transparent.
Wow.
Then before I could proceed, what had happened, it shot off in a straight line and immediately disappeared as it set into motion. I still can't believe what I saw. I had to Google report a UFO, and sure enough, I found this place, a MUFON. And that's where he reported it to. And he said, I'm really struggling to make sense of it all. And I hope you guys can use this information. So, yeah, that's what we do. We got our information. And, that was really good from Sacramento. And I was thinking of you.
What part of Sacramento was that? Because we have a lot of listeners on the BBS radio network in Sacramento. Where, do you know what area it was?
No, it really didn't say. He mentioned here... No, he didn't say exactly. I didn't realize Sacramento was that large.
Well, Sacramento's big, and they have Davis, because there's been a lot of sightings out of Davis. So it's very interesting. You say, go ahead. We're going to go bring another
one. Yeah, so I got a good one here from Tel Aviv.
Oh, okay, good. Jewish people.
Yeah, apparently this is a real big one. And since I am now the international director for Israel.
Shalom. Shalom, shalom.
Yeah. I'm finding these cases that, you know, I don't want to use the word buried, but it's really weird why, you know, these cases weren't investigated a long, long time ago. But make a long story short, what he says now, this was September 17th, 1996. Apparently, this was a big deal in Tel Aviv. A lot of witnesses of the newspaper, the press, the TV, and everybody else was involved in it all. But it says here, a few miles up the road, I came to a large intersection called Ramat Ava Junction. As I approached the junction, I realized that something is not quite right in what I was starting to see. All across the junction were parked cars scattered right between the traffic lights facing in all directions. So there's a big traffic jam and all these cars were scattered all over the place. And he said his first reaction was a trance music party just popped. They were quite common back then in Israel. Trance, right. I'm not familiar with them, but he said he drove slowly to the center of the junction. And then he noticed that the streets were full of people of all colors and ages looking upward in total silence. He said that was really, really kind of weird, just seeing that, you know, everyone looking up into the sky.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, I had a Volvo Model 960T with the sunroof, so I just sat and looked up through it. What I saw was still fresh in my memory. After all those years, about 150 meters east of the junction, there was a bunch of residential buildings, about 15 stories high. And in front of one of the buildings at around the 14th floor hovered something which looked like a bright star as big as a little truck.
Wow.
The best way to describe it, a brighter star which is moving. It was moving in a frenzy to almost all directions at once, changing hundreds of colors in milliseconds from blue to green to orange to even what seemed like gold and silver. And the object was clearly in front of the buildings, and while emitting rays of light over it, but the rays of light did not project on the buildings behind it, which was kind of strange.
Yeah, that sounds strange. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's scary, you know, if I was to see something like that. But it says here the object was making a show for us, moving up and down like crazy firefly. I cannot take my eyes off of it, and nor could I make a sound.
Wow.
Suddenly, in the blink of an eye, the object leaped about 50 meters upward and vanished behind the buildings, only to reappear a second later, pointing further to the east. As soon as the object got further away from us, many people jumped in their cars and shouted, "Let's chase him," and drove madly after his flight course. After the flight went further to the east, he said, "I geared my car and said to myself, I got to get my friends to see this or they would never believe me." So he drove in ridiculous speeds to the north to his friend's house. He grabbed them out of their beds and hurled them into the car.
Oh, wow.
And he said, "We back to Ramat Aviv Junction." Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I can tell you where it is. Well, and the people out there, the listeners, Ramat Aviv is when you go out in Tel Aviv, Tel Aviv is a, believe it or not, has beaches in that area. They have a lot of ocean. And this is part of the realm where they have oceans, and they also have a lot of, they're building in Israel right now, a lot of the big high-rises, you know, by the beach. So this is a famous place because this is like, you know, you think of Malibu, what they want to do in Malibu with the, they want to build this big hotel. But the same thing with Tel Aviv. It's a very ritzy area, and it's a place where people go back and forth, and it's they have a lot of industry nearby, so it is a most traveled place in Israel. And
that's cool. I'm gonna have to look it up on Google because things like that interest me.
Well, you know what I'm gonna do?
Continuing, he said, "Two ladies were still standing there. We asked them bluntly which way the UFO went, and they pointed east."
Oh, wow.
"We turned east and drove approximately another couple of miles until we reached one of the bridges that are crossing the Ayalon Highway, Ackle Bridge."
Okay.
It's a three lane from each side type of a bridge, and it was already full of people, border police, light army trucks, and even TV crews. And the crowd faced north, and we jumped the car on the sideway and ran to the ledge of the bridge and looked north as well. We saw the bright star hanging about 60 meters above the traffic as if it was a lamp hanging from a ceiling. This time it was bigger. It didn't change color and was just hovering silently. This continued for a few minutes and I took about 20 meters from, I stood about 20 meters from an army Jeep, and I saw the border police soldiers, about six of them, pointing their guns toward the object. And then I heard an officer say to one of the corporals, "Tell them not to do anything with the guns."
Right.
And an NCO, non-commissioned officer, that stood there said that, "Well, what are you trying to do, start the world of words, the word worlds?" A few minutes later, the object suddenly sprinted up and away like the fastest rocket I've ever seen.
Wow.
Until it became a bright red star. Me and my friend, we hung around for a couple of cigarettes, looked up, and then the red star made a sharp right turn and vanished. So, you know, there was a But apparently it was a big deal in Tel Aviv back in September of 96. So I'm investigating this. I got a lot of work
please
to do.
Please let me, you know what? If you go to Israel, please let me know. I'd love to have a trip with you to Israel because
I'd love to go to Israel.
It would be a nice for the listeners out there. We'll try to plan a trip, and I'm going to have a trip to go to, to go to Roswell. We're going to go to Roswell, and I'll, share details of that tonight. And we're going to go to Roswell. I'm not going to go to Contact in the Desert because I want to go to Roswell. I want to go to Dulce. And I want to take photos for you in Dulce, investigate Dulce, and also in Roswell. So I'm going to be going there this year rather than, last year I was in, I went to Contact and I went to Vegas. But I was going to share with you another one, and then I want you to share with people another site. There's one they had about Great Britain. Have you noticed that Great Britain's got a lot of UFOs coming? You know about that?
No. Well, I've been getting a lot of, I see the reports every day, they're all over the place. I think what it is, like I said before, is people are finally starting to report these things, they're starting to find MUFON's website, of course, now there's other webs like I said, John Greenwald, he's starting up his UFO investigation organization, and Peter Davenport has his own. So, there's about a half dozen of good UFO organizations out there that are taking all of these cases that people call in.
Well, the one in Great Britain, you remember we've talked about they had in Malibu where the mountains open up, where people are saying that. In Great Britain now, the mountains, they've seen ships go into the mountain. And this is from UFO sightings 2018. And they had the picture of it. It was amazing of the shape. It was like a cylinder shape. It was silver. And what was really interesting about it, Ken, was that how the ships would go in. Big ships would suddenly go in. And this has been in... I've heard about it in the Weekly World News from England. They've had articles about it. And this is something that's been going on for the last, a couple of years at least, So
yeah, it's funny you say that because I've noticed lately, I can't think of them right off the top of the head, but I've noticed three or four sightings with the same scenario. You have this ship opens up and these things come flying out and they fly around and fly back into the mothership, I guess.
Oh yeah,
and this is something. I don't want to say it's new, but we're hearing more about it now.
Well, it's interesting. They had a show on. I forgot what brand. They got some brand new great UFO shows on the History Channel, and they had one. It was. I don't know if it was the alien show, but it was very interesting about why we're seeing so many sightings. And the reason they say is that they say in the year that we're going to probably have a communique with one of them. That's what it said. So
I know we've been communicating with them for years, but that's it. That's another story. And I hope, said before, I hope this closure doesn't happen. That'd be the worst thing ever happened.
No, that's true. Now, did you hear about the dark alien cube found on moon? It was found on the moon on February 2018. I got this from people want to see a nice website, and also you got to look at Ken's. It's called UFO Sightings 2018, and they have one where the Earth's moon, a dark alien cube was found on the moon.
And oh, really?
The cube shows definite right angles and construction looks to be huge. The cube is in a Chinese moon photo. Isn't that interesting? That's coming. That was coming from UFO sightings 2018. And then another one we got was regarding Mars, regarding ancient stone where they see a face. Have you know about those? The ones with the one had an Aztec face, and it was taken on Mars. And they said a large flat roach with facial standing up on a hillside which is already near impossible. It said it was pushed up this way to display the face. It was called,
oh, really? Yeah, I've seen things like, well, I've been researching Mars and the moon for quite a long time, and it right. seems to me that Mars reminds me of like a great, the ground reminds me of a Great Barrier Reef. Uh-huh. You know, you think it's all sand. It's not. It's tons of rocks. And the shape of a lot of these rocks, like it looks like coral. It looks like dead coral. And I found a lot of interesting things. I found a few skeletons,
uh-huh.
You know, possibly, you know, dead animals from Mars, spider-like fossils I found. And it's really strange. You really have to, you know, look at these. It's the SOL, like 630. Just Google SOL 630 or 635 or 640, and you come across these high-definition Curiosity from the Curiosity rover of Mars, and Mars is a strange place, I'll tell you. And you know, of course, you see faces and everything, and, you know, you see tons of faces in the rocks and the stones and the pebbles and this, and it looks like a big pile of junk. You know, I could picture a junkyard with all computer tops and toasters and fans and everything just thrown into a big pile. And it reminds me of a lot of places on Mars. This looks like a big Martian junk pile.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. There was photos taken, I want to say a year ago, and it looked like, to me, like, you know, when you go to these, you know, trash bin places, and that's what I think the whole thing of Mars must look like, because it sounds like Mars may have been a civilization that may have died off, may have been transferred from a, you know, may have been an Earth civilization. And you can see the faces are very, you know, very strong looking, you know, very strong looking.
It reminds me of ancient structures that have been demolished and they're in, you know, it's rubble. It's they've been sitting there for who knows how long, a million years.
Okay.
And these large structures are just, they're just crumbling. They're starting to turn into dust, I guess you can say. And that's what a lot of Mars looks like to me.
Well, you know, what's interesting is when I see you in July, it'll be very interesting to, you know, of course, I'll get to see your photos and stuff, but what'll be very interesting in July is to see all the various people coming and what, you know, and also they're going to have, a researcher from, of course, MUFON, to talk about his experiences. But also for me, being from the West Coast, seeing that we've been getting a lot of sightings the last couple of weeks, a lot, very intense sightings, especially in L.A., also in where Lancaster and Palmdale are. So you kind of know.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But Ken, give your website out to many folks that listen to our show, and tell them how they can, you know, see these great photos.
Yeah, well, my main website, I have over 12,000 photos on there. It's worldufophotos.org.
Okay.
And then my other news UFO site is worldufophotosandnews.org, and I got over 2,200 case files. A lot of really good, interesting stuff. I usually try to pick out one good article a day and publish it.
Right.
And also check out my discoveries website. It's kenpiperdiscoveries.com. So if you get a chance, check them out. I just posted about 30 or 40 of my Mars discoveries, you know, things that I've found. A lot of them I just trash can, but I'm trying to pick out wow pictures. I'm trying to pick out pictures when people see it, they say, oh, you know, like, holy crap, what the heck is that?
Right.
And that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I'm trying to publish right now.
Well, anyway, we always appreciate you. Next week, I'd like to have you on, because I'm gonna talk about a sightings in Ventura, California. You remember when they had the big fire? Well, people saw sightings of UFOs.
But email me in advance so I can do some research on them, and I'll get the lowdown on them.
We'll do. And then Danny's going to come on next week. He's he's busy with his grandmother, so that's okay. But we appreciate you coming on.
Well, it's an honor to be on your show, and I appreciate you guys having me on. And yeah, I'll see you next Friday. I'll have some stuff.
Oh, thank you very much. That, ladies and gentlemen out there, that was Ken Pfeiffer. And as I said, it's a treat for us to have Ken on our show. And we're going to have next caller will be Bernadette calling from all the way from San Antonio, or actually Austin, Texas. Sorry, Bernadette. Anyway, Bernadette, call in. We're ready for you. Anyway, I was going to mention trips where we're headed as a group. What we'd like to do as our group is we want to mention a few UFO shows. One we're going to be participating in is the Roswell show, which is going to be July 6th through July 8th. And that's going to be in Main Street, Roswell. And that's every year. They have the UFO Festival. And for more information, 575-914-8014. So we'd like to have people come. It's a wonderful celebration. And another one that we may be going this year is the Dulce up in New Mexico. It's right by the Colorado border. And they have a wonderful thing. Dulce is known to be a U.S., what do they call it? A camp, and also used by the aliens to take humans and other species as a laboratory. And it's been noted that there's been different situations that have occurred. People have seen, men look like cockroaches, and they had dogs. Men would look like dog, women in pig outfit. So there's a lot of interesting things that go on, and on the radio, you can't really describe it till you go there. But we're going to go this year. And that one, the Dulce, is going to be at the White Wild Horse Casino and Hotel, which is up in Dulce, New Mexico. We're going to find out more. I'm going to give a number out for those that are interested. It's in June the 24th, 2018. Oh, let me get Bernadette. Bernadette, where are you? Let's get her real quick. Anyway, Bernadette is going to be on the phone. We'll talk about relationships live. So hopefully we get her live. Bernadette, is she there?
Hello.
Hello, Bernadette. It's Cameron live.
Live. Hi, from Los Angeles. Cameron live.
Yeah, well, welcome.
How are you in L.A.? How's everything?
Well, you know, it's funny. The weather has been cold for L.A. And it's been today is actually, you know, it's funny with all the stuff that went on. Last week, I feel good. Actually, I feel good from all the stuff, because you know, it's like we've talked before about relationships. You know, you have a relationship with a co-host, and then suddenly, when it disappears, something good always comes along.
You know, and that is the greatest way to look at it, because when you're open to change. Yeah. That's exactly what happens, is that we allow the flow of change to happen, and old things leave and new things are allowed to come in. And it's really a beautiful part of life.
Now, I was going to tell everybody that Bernadette Di Gabriel, she's a life coach in Austin, Texas, and we're so happy to have her. She gives me a smile. Smile and dial. Smile and dial. But anyway, we would love to have her. Hopefully she'll come to LA. We're going to be out. By the way, I was going to give you a couple of events we're going to go to. We're going to be going to Roswell July 6th through July 8th. We're going to be doing the Roswell UFO Festival. And then we're going to Dulce, which is up in the, I think that's near Colorado border. And Dulce is known where they had the human experimentation up there. And the reason we're going is because we just wanted to go see what it's like. And that's going to be June 24th this year. So,
that is fascinating.
Yeah. You know, you go to these things and they're fun. You meet people, you know, like usually I go to a thing called Contact in the Desert. But, you know, I said, Brenda, I said, I want to do something different. I want to meet new people. I want to do things that I don't normally do. And this is one of them. And then I'll be, of course, going to MUFON Symposium in Philadelphia, which is wonderful. Have you been to Philadelphia?
I have not been to Philadelphia. I mean, I've been through Pennsylvania. I actually grew up in New York. But,
I'm telling you, right by the Liberty Bell, huh? Right. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
I've not been to Philadelphia. What's that?
I said, you're back east, and you know, it's funny. People say to you, so have you been to Pittsburgh? Have you seen the Philly, you know, the bell? That would be interesting, the actual bell, you know, in Philadelphia. And where Rocky, I think Rocky did... Sylvester Stallone did Rocky there in Philadelphia.
No kidding. Well, have you been there before?
No.
Have you been to Philly?
This is my first time. I'm a first time flyer, as they say.
But I think it's going to be a fascinating visit for you because there is a lot of history there. A lot.
And also, what's really cool when you travel is my big thing on travel is meeting the people. That's the interesting thing because when you go, like I went last year to Vegas, I met so many nice people that I could tell you, I felt like I was in heaven. People were from Virginia, from Pennsylvania, from New York, from Florida, and they all gathered in Las Vegas last year. It was wonderful. I think they may have it again next year in Vegas, what I understand. But it was just a great event. So tell us now. I was going to tell you another thing. I'm talk about me today. People say enough with him. What else is going on? But you know what I notice when it's cold. You know, and it's been really cold in LA because we're not used to 47 at night for us. This is real cold for us. All right. So it's been really cold. And you know what's interesting is my mind. I've been kind of focusing. On the, you know, you think of the positive, but I've been focusing, kind of praying for other people. And my state of mind is all, you know, let's think of other people. And I was thinking about the kids that all, you know, were shot last week and the tragedy. And now, you know, what's going on with the president talking about teachers having guns. That's a little strange for me. Don't you think?
He was talking about pictures of what?
No, the president was talking about, you know, the teachers having guns on their.
Oh, I know.
That's crazy.
Can you even believe that? No, I think that's absolutely off the wall nuts.
That is crazy.
Let's make a bad problem worse.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and arm teachers.
Now,
okay, because not only do they have enough stress with the kids that they deal with every day, but we want to go ahead and give them a gun, you know, just, you know.
Yeah, here's a gun. Here's a gun. Shoot it.
Yeah, have a good day every day. Let's hope you don't have a bad day and just pull that out on somebody. I mean, how absurd is that?
That is
now, you know what
very
we need
absurd.
To do, Cameron? We need to teach our children at a younger age how to, first of all, communicate.
Right.
And how to be assertive, but in a more balanced way. I mean, the problem is that a lot of these children are dealing with issues that they're just not able to process. And if they don't have the proper training, I mean, it even goes into adulthood. That's why if we catch it at a young age and we teach these kids how to handle or manage interpersonal relationships, we have a better chance of accepting the diversity of the individual kids. But to give a teacher a gun and say, okay, this is the solution to this problem
Remember All in the Family? You remember Archie Bunker? I thought of Trump as Archie Bunker. You get a gun, you kill the people. You remember All in the Family with Carol O'Connor? And then Archie Bunker would come up with something and you go, what? And that's what it sounds like to me. It's too, you know, what happened in Florida was horrible, absolutely horrible. Yeah. But the thing is, you can't have a guarded camp. And the kids want to get an education. Can you imagine if you're a child and you have someone with a gun? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's very crazy. We need to focus on so many other societal issues.
Right.
And, you know, I understand the importance of, you know, managing gun control to a degree. Right. I understand all of that. But the issues are not the guns. The issues are more core.
Right.
And, you know, we have such a complexity with society right now. And you know, if we don't do something to handle the core issues, and that is basically how we handle interpersonal relationships. And again, it goes from youth all the way up, and the elders teach the youngers the same thing that they've been taught. And right. It's just a cycle. And right. If we don't break that cycle and make some serious changes to handle the core issues, our problem is only going to get worse.
I agree with you totally.
We need to be teaching these kids a proper way to be able to be balanced, to be able to process stuff, to be able to handle each other, to be able to communicate how they're feeling. Because, you know, I just did a paper on this, actually did some research.
Isn't that funny?
Them.
You just had a paper written. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes. But it's like, you know, these kids, they first of all, the family dynamic is a little off.
Right.
It's a little off. Okay. And so you have everybody who's trying, parents particularly, who are trying to just survive in the society right now. Right. Right? So a lot
true.
Of times they're very disconnected from their children.
Right.
Right. So
true.
Children don't have the parental guidance that they need. And it's no fault of the parent, really. I mean, we have to understand the entirety of that dynamic. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and they're put into these situations with other kids that are, you know, also dealing with their own stuff. And nobody knows how to be able to cope with the situations that that are brought to them. And until we teach them how to do that, we're going to find this problem just heightening and heightening. We're going to have more issues like we had in Florida. I mean, it's not the first time. This is not the first time that, you know, a shooting has taken place.
What you're saying makes sense, because Sandy Hook, you're talking about Columbine, you're talking about what happened Bakersfield, you're talking about, you know, what happened in one part of California. Guns, to me, this is my thing with guns. You know, the Second Amendment, it's okay to have protection, but I don't think the original founders thought people would get an AK, you know, that rifle, assault weapon. That's crazy. And I've been listening to the various opinions of other shows and everything, and they are pretty much how I feel, because you can't have a society where kids are going to be afraid to go out. Like your daughter, when that happened, did she talk to you about it? What happened?
Yes, actually, both of my daughters, two of my daughters said, I have 5 girls and 3 boys.
Right.
And 2 of my daughters, they called me and like, oh my God, Mom, can you believe what is happening right now? And actually there was, a shooting not far from where I live, actually in North Texas.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it got any publicity, but, and I don't know a great deal about it. But I do know that there was a massacre that took place in Jarrell, Texas. And just happened like a week or two ago. So very recent. And it's like, you know, yeah. No, my daughters do talk. My daughters talk to me about everything. And it's frightening for them, because they're like, Mom, if teachers are running around carrying guns, I mean, what happens when, you know, they have a bad day? What happens when, you know, things, because it's a stressful job anyway. They don't get paid a lot for what they do. They deal
That's
with
true.
A lot of personalities. They deal with a lot of dysfunction.
True.
And then you're going to put a gun in their hand and tell them to go ahead and deal with the pressure of that too. I mean, it's
nuts.
Yeah,
the thing is, when you think about, you know, getting an education, you know, this is my thing. When I was brought up, you got an education. Society was different. And also, what about the shows on TV? The violence. You see a show today,
all
it's violent. So if you're growing up today, you're going to see violent programs. You're going to see women being raped and tortured on these shows.
Yeah.
Women that, if you listen to the Weekly World News, things that happen that are strange. And that's society now, which I wish we'd go back to the good old days, you know, when people would have, you know, go home. They wouldn't have to worry about, you know, God forbid someone come in a classroom with a gun. You know, I can't think of
it. It was more community oriented back then.
Yeah.
It was more community oriented. Everybody had their hand in the pot.
Right.
And it actually was effective.
Yeah, it was.
But like you said, I mean, we have so many other issues that families are dealing with right now that these kids that need an outlet, they just don't have one. And even with recess, let's just take recess, for example, or gym class, when we used to have to go to gym class.
Right.
Four times a week. You know what I mean? And that was at least a relief.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
We had an opportunity. We don't have that. These kids don't have that. If you don't have a membership to a gym, you don't get a relief.
That's true, too, because and you remember, you know, because I'm bringing back old Americana, they had the Pledge of Allegiance. And I remember, mm-hmm. Everyone used to hide away with a Pledge of Allegiance. And that was required in the high schools, you know, out here. And I remember the teacher says, you know, put your hand by your heart. And then a lot of kids didn't want to do it because they thought they were tough kids. So they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way it was. And then in my era was, you know, where they had the surfers gangs and they had the African-American gangs and the Mexican gang. And so they didn't get along and it brought problems. And now the big problem is if a young kid comes in with a gun or a young girl, you know, the young girl brought in, I think in Los Angeles, she was taken away with a gun. She came to school, she injured someone. They were injured. So that's scary. You know, it's a scary world, I'll tell you. A very scary world. And this is my question.
It really is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Especially when that's the first resort.
Yeah.
Is, okay, I'm upset with you, and so I'm just going to go ahead and get a gun, and I'm either going to end it for myself or I'm going to end it for you.
Right.
And that's a scary reality.
And then,
you know, but honestly, at a young age, the prefrontal cortex of your brain develops faster. That's the sensationalism of how our brain actually functions.
Right.
And so they haven't had enough experience to be able to understand the process that things go through. So they immediately jump to something that is, it's a quick fix.
Right.
Because that's what they know. And that's why suicide rates are so high right now, too.
Yeah, well, it's true because they, what you said, you know, they had it in the, I want to say New York Magazine. You know, in New York, suicide rate is up about 30% for New York City.
Wow.
And it's unbelievable because I get all the magazines and do my little reading. And you know what's interesting too is that the kid that they caught doing this, how he looked like he was dead, like he was like a robot, and how, you know, the mother died, and I guess the lady was very nice to take him in her house. And you would think he would want to change himself, but those are the kids that have to go to rehab or have to talk to someone. And I was wondering, you know, a kid like that, why didn't he talk to a woman? You know, if you have these feelings, you talk to the woman, you know, or talk to a counselor.
Well, you know, when you are in despair, and it's like I just said previously, when you're feeling despair, and especially as a child, I mean, this kid, he lost his mother. So that in itself is a huge transition for him to have to process alone.
Right.
But then when you feel like you are alone and you've lost everything that you had,
right,
you know, what do you do with all of that energy, that anger, that frustration, that bitterness, that resentment, all of those emotions that go into it? I mean, this kid is a bottled up bomb.
Right.
You know, and so just the fact that, you know, just losing the mother in itself should have alerted somebody, several bodies, several people knew that this individual was going through this. So why wasn't anybody there to reach out? Why wasn't any, you know what I mean?
That's
we drop the ball as a society.
I agree with you. And also, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, we know these things and we don't do anything about it. It's no different than somebody walking down the street, seeing a woman being raped and continuing walking and not doing a doggone thing about it.
Correct. That's right.
Okay. We would rather be silent than actually take a stand or do something to help.
Right.
And that's not the kind of attitude that we need in order to sustain our society or to improve it.
Right.
We need to actually take action, recognize when somebody needs something,
mm-hmm.
and step in. There's nothing wrong with that. I have no problem doing that at all. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you're doing, what the incident is. Right. I will absolutely stand up. I will stand in. I will go. There was an accident that happened right in front of me. And all of these people were lined up on the street and they're all looking and they're laughing at this accident that just took place, right? And I'm observing everybody around me. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Not one person went over to this vehicle. So I crossed over the highway and I went and I dealt with, you know, I went to the car. I'm like, are you okay? As soon as I went to the car to check on this individual, here comes a mob of people behind me, the same people that were pointing fingers and laughing just seconds before. Now, had I not gone to that car, nobody would have gone to that car.
That's true. You see what I mean?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you talk about, we used to call it when people would go out of their way to help people. And that's something that people have lost. Anyway, Bernadette, next week you come on. We're going to talk about issues about love relationships. You'll come on next week, okay? And we'll talk on the week.
Oh, Cameron, real quick before we go, yeah. I want to let you know that my retreat is scheduled for the summer, July 23rd through the 27th. We are doing it in Florence, Texas at a gorgeous resort.
Anybody who wants to be a part of it
needs to go to my website, BernadetteDeGabrielle.com, and just send me an email.
Now, how much is going to be your seminar?
We have very limited space. We have 16 spots.
Okay.
So.
How much is the cost? Real quick, and then we got to go.
It's $1,700.
That's not bad.
But it's for the entire week, and it will be an amazing experience. So,
I'm hoping I could go. That would be great. I'm hoping I could go.
Yes,
anyway,
I would love to have you.
I would love to meet you and go down there. Real quick, I want to thank you so much because we get off the air. So thank you very much, and you have a wonderful week, and we'll talk during the week, okay?
Sounds great.
We're good friends. We'll talk
during
the week. We'll talk during the week. Anyway, as they say in the world of radio, we got to go. So everyone have a wonderful week and good night from Los Angeles. I had to get up. Okay.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker.